Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Welcome, welcome, everyone. I'm Rita Hauck Lane, your host for the next hour. I hope you'll join me as we venture deeper into life with Jesus Christ. I hope you're having a wonderful afternoon and a spirit-filled Advent season. We're at the very beginning of the second week of Advent, and I don't know about you, but I think it's a wonderful time of year. We all have to work at making it a little less complicated, a little less busy. But I have to confess, I've been trying. It's almost like I kind of woke up from COVID sleep or something. I just have had this desire to do things and get out and be out and to spend a little extra time thinking about the gifts I want to give at Christmas and filling time with family and church. And we went to a show out in Lancaster County, a musical. It was fantastic. Hadn't been one since before COVID. Just those kind of like joy-filled expecting things to be good, you know, and be rejoicing in this time. And we're supposed to be a little bit, you know, down to earth and kind of quiet during Advent. And I'm building that into everything too, but I'm really determined to celebrate this season in an extraordinary way. And also the Christmas season. I talked to you last week, I believe it was, about Advent is the preparation time that we're in right now that leads up to Christmas Day. And it's not supposed to be all about secular things and material things. It's supposed to also be spiritual, you know, where we open our hearts to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, please reveal to me if there's anything or what is in my life that is, you know, holding me back from really following you and being really close to you. Because trust me, folks, when we desire to be closer to him, there's no happiness, there's no peace, there's nothing in the world like it. When we are close to him, when we are in union with him, the joy, the peace, everything in life, even the tough times, are so much easier. So we need to, first of all, know that and realize that, and then seek that. You know, we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, who's knocking on the doors of our hearts every day. We have to say, okay, all right, I'm listening. Help me to get closer to you. It's up to us in a way. He's always there, always waiting, always wanting to be closer to us. But we have to respond. We have to say, yes, Lord, like Mary said, yes. Her fiat. Well, our fiat is yes, too. Okay, Lord, let's do this together. Let's live together. Let's work at life together. Let's cry together. Let's laugh together. Let's love together. And then, you know, over time, that's what happens. But anyway, so I hope you'll join me. What I want to start with today, though, is it's a kind of prayer that's based on Psalms 132. If you've been listening to me, you know that I love the Psalms and I love to use them as prayers because, I mean, even Jesus did that. So anyway, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, remember your people. Come, make your home among us. Lord, remember your servant David and his promise to make a home for you. I will not rest, David said, until I find a home for the mighty God. David honored the Ark of the Covenant, and God rested on it. Lord, remember your people. Come, make your home among us. God honored David and promised him, I will set one of your descendants on the throne forever. He will restore my covenant with my people. I have prepared an everlasting light for my anointed, a crown of glory. Lord, remember your people. Come, make your home among us. Lord, remember your promise. Come to dwell with your people. Satisfy us with the bread of life. Clothe us with robes of salvation, and we will shout with joy. Lord, remember your people. Come make your home among us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, in the Catholic Church, it's the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of Mary, the Mother of Jesus. And in honor of her, I have a little, it's almost a prayer, but not really. It's a wish list. And I just wanted to share this with you in honor of her. And it's, may we walk this Advent season in imitation of her. May we trust like she trusted, even though she didn't know what tomorrow would bring. May we trust like she trusted when challenge after challenge came and life wasn't easy or peaceful. May we trust like she trusted when she faced horrid things beyond her control. And may we rejoice as she rejoiced when the Lord came to the rescue and or worked miracles and revealed himself in the midst of life. Okay. One of the things that some people aren't aware of or don't really think about it, you know, Mary was like us, except for she was a very holy, holy woman, chosen by God to, be pregnant and bear her son, his son in her womb into the world for all of us. So even scripture says that we are all her children. So anyway, a lot of people don't realize that she is their mother. It doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or not. And it really doesn't matter if you're Christian or not. She's still the mother of all the children of God, which means everyone he created. So she's a perfect person to study her attitudes, her life, her openness, her willingness, her trust. It's extraordinary. Extraordinary. She could have said no. Some people deny that, but she was a human being, and we all have free will, and even Mary could have said no to God, but she chose not to. She chose to trust, even though she didn't understand, and she, because of her, we have been benefited now and all for all eternity, hopefully, by her son, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, who is our King, who is our friend. And so we thank her, we honor her, we're grateful that God gave her to us as our mother. So anyway, may she intercede for us, and we thank her for that. Anyway, it's kind of funny, we're in Advent, and I get so excited in these preparatory times, Advent, Lent, because they all lead to joy and a deeper relationship with the Lord. If you take it seriously, I look at Advent as the season of looking for light, looking for light. I have, you know, I've told you many times that I look for I look at life through rose-colored glasses, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I look at life in light of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and what he wants to do for us, what he offers for us, and the good things in life. You know, it's amazing when you go online and you hear even some, you know, faithful Catholic Christians and other Christians who are, you know, they can't see anything that just for the good of anything, because they're so busy criticizing everything else. It's something that we have learned over the last few years in this country, is don't trust anyone, don't admire anyone, only see the bad, only look for the bad, only criticize. You know, it's everywhere. And I am rebelling against that. I refuse to be that way. Jesus wasn't that way. The disciples weren't that way. They saw the good. They saw hope. They trusted the Lord in spite of everything. Look at what Our Lady went through. Oh my gosh. All that she went through in her life. And yet, she trusted. She said, there has to be good coming from this. So I am going to trust that. The same thing's happening in our lives. There has to be good coming from all of this. And we need to trust it. We're trusting him. We're not trusting science. We're not trusting men and women. We are not trusting intelligence and everything. Those are all a part of life. But they're not everything about life. He's the Lord, the life giver. He's the one who makes all things new. He's the one that wishes that none be lost, that everyone be saved, that everyone live in peace and unity with each other. It's the evil one and our own human natures who that are at fault for those kind of things. So I'm rebelling against those negativities. I'm shutting out these people that just cannot see good anywhere. Everything they talk about is criticisms and anger. And it's just so sad to me. I've had enough of it. I've had enough of it. I hope you have too. Let's choose the better way. Let's choose the joy of the Lord. Let's choose to be patient, even when other people aren't patient. Let's choose to be giving and loving, even when other people aren't giving and loving. Let us live surrounded by the love of God and in the arms of Our Lady. And anyway, so to me, Advent is the season for looking for light. And I wanted to share a couple of scriptures with you. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When you are a Christian and you are a faithful Christian, actually living the faith, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you and directs you and helps you to make decisions. But what he really does is he opens your eyes to the truth, to all of to the things that are going on in your everyday life that maybe you might have ignored in the past, but all of a sudden you see something you didn't see before because the light of Christ is shining on things and you're seeing them freshly. And they can be challenging things and things that are not not happy things, such as evil and things that are going on that we might have been blinded to before and unaware of. You'll see those things. And then you can pray about them, or you can change the things that you're able to change and bring good into them. But it also, he also opens up our eyes to the beauty that's all around us all the time. All the time. There's always something beautiful and something good that we can be grateful for and that we can enjoy and focus on. So anyway, he's the light of the world. Whoever follows him will see the light, will have the light. And believe me, it's just a beautiful thing to grow in that over time. And then in the prophet Isaiah, it says about the Lord, the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. We know from the gospels that Jesus did heal the eyes of people who were blind. He did heal the ears of those who were deaf, but he also opened spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, or at least our awareness of those things. So that also is a light that he brings to us, is opening our eyes to see and opening our ears to hear the truth, to hear falsehoods and know that they're false, etc. So to me, Advent is an awesome time of year to really listen, to really wait. And so I wanted to share some things with you that I've found online about Advent. And there's this article that I loved how it spoke. And so it's, it's from Monsignor Pope in Washington. I love him. If Google him, or I should say search on the web for him, Monsignor Charles Pope in Washington. He's just down to earth, but just really super spiritual. He's a good spiritual father. And so he put this two-page article on his site. It's the season of Advent. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. I'm just going to read you the an intro paragraph. He says, autumn and early winter are times of great seasonal changes. Advent draws us spiritually into this season of change, of longing, and of expectation. As the days grow shorter and the darkness increases, we light candles on our Advent wreaths and remember that Jesus is the true light of the world, the light that shines in the darkness. These lit candles, let me start over again. I found out that Facebook is now working. So this is very brief. It's Monsignor Charles Pope on the season of Advent. Just a little intro. Autumn and early winter are times of great seasonal change. We know that. We see how different it looks in autumn and winter than it does in spring and summer. Advent draws us spiritually into the season of change, of longing, and of expectation. As the days grow shorter and the darkness increases, we light candles on our Advent wreaths and remember that Jesus is the true light of the world, the light that shines in the darkness. These lit candles also symbolize our ongoing commitment to come out of darkness into God's own marvelous light. Okay. So, when I read that earlier, I thought about how, you know, when it's dark at this time of year, you know, especially during Advent and during the Christmas season, we light up our Christmas trees, we light up our candles. A couple of years ago, I was reading in a book about, I'm one of those people who gets a little sad, more than a little sad, after the Christmas season is over and you take down all the beautiful decorations and the lights and everything, especially the lights. In the wintertime, we need lights, you know. And this one author, she said she buys these little fairy lights. You might be aware of them. Just, you know, search online for fairy lights. They're little teeny tiny wires with little teeny tiny lights all over them. And you can run them on batteries. Or you can get the, the first year I got the ones that ran on batteries. Then the next year I replaced them. I donated those and then I replaced them with ones that you can use plugged in or with batteries. And she said, put them all over your house and light them in the wintertime. And you won't miss your Christmas decorations as much. And plus, it just lifts your spirits. I tried it. I'm sold on it. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful, wonderful therapy for wintertime to get the fairy lights and put them, you know, on your, you know, your tables and anywhere that you want some light. Trust me, it's really a beautiful thing. Lifts your spirits. But all of these lights that we light this time of year are really pointing to the light of the world, and that's Jesus Christ. He really is the light. He reveals to us the good and the bad, and he spreads that light over our lives in a way that makes life spectacular. So anyway, when we light our lights, remember that Jesus is the true light of the world, the light that shines in the darkness. Okay? And so now I'd like to read to you Bishop Barron has a book out. I believe this is the first year that it came out. The Word Became Flesh, Reflections for Advent and Christmas. And I like his things because they're very in tune with what the world needs today. And in here is a quote from Edith Stein, which is also Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. And I love the quote, so I'm going to share it with you. When the gentle lights of the Advent candles begin to shine in the dark days of December, a mysterious light in a mysterious darkness, it awakens in us the consoling thought that divine light, the Holy Spirit, has never ceased to illumine the darkness of the fallen world. The divine light, the Holy Spirit, has never ceased to illumine the darkness of the fallen world. You go back and you study world history, or you just look at church history, no matter what kind of history you're looking at, there is always, evil always destroys itself, as Papa John Paul II used to say. Evil always destroys itself. And we even see it today. How people turn on each other, and when there's people that are not living the better way, the way that the Lord came to show us, and it can be groups of people, it can be organizations, even corporations, and of course the government, depending on who, what, and where, they turn on each other, and things aren't good. And so we see that evil does not last. And that is because the Holy Spirit refuses to let it last. And I don't know about you, but I'm very grateful for that. Last year, I kept getting during the Advent season, light, 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 candles, 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 you know. And I was sitting on my back porch one night. Well, actually, it was early in the morning before sunrise. And I looked out the window, and at a house three houses away from me, and that's pretty far, there was a candle, one lone little candle in a window that was either lit or was on a timer, but it was on. And it was mind-boggling to me how well I could see that little teeny tiny light surrounded by the darkness. And that's what we're supposed to be in this world that's confused and angry and doesn't know where to turn. You know, we are to be that little glimmer of light that Jesus wants to show the world through us. We're the ones that are to help people to see hope, to give hope, to encourage and to seek the good and find the beauty in life and share that with other people instead of not being there. You know, when you look out the window and you see that little candle, it's not much. It's not much, but oh, the darkness it dispels. Oh, the beauty of seeing that and the hope it gives when you see that little light in the darkness. That's the Lord. That's what the Lord is. He's the light in the darkness. Go towards the light. You'll never be disappointed. I want to share with you a couple of, you know that from what I've said before, that my heart has really, really, really been changed by the Lord through Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. If you don't know who she is, please, please, search for her. Just, you know, Google it or search for Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta online. Find out about her. You know, the Lord, He always sends saints into the world when the world needs to understand something that they've forgotten, in a way. And Mother Teresa was this very simple, humble, religious sister in India who he called out of her existing order into another, to start her own order, to go out into the streets, into the slums, to the poorest of the poor people, and serve them there. And what the world learned from her was how we have ignored a lot of the hurting people in the world, and how simple it is to just do a little something every day to make the world a better place. And to have our eyes opened, our blindness enlightened, so that we can see the needs around us. And don't be afraid to step out in faith and be a person that serves. So when I come back, I have to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to share a couple of little articles with you about Advent and Mother Teresa. And I mean, I could spend days talking about her, but I can't. So please hang in there. I'll be right back. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back. I am Rita Halk Lane, your host for the next half hour. In this past half hour, we were talking a bit about Advent and Our Lady and a lot of interesting things. But I want to continue with, you know, what are some of the ways that we can learn from St. Mother Teresa to enhance our Advent experience, not only ours, but those that we're around. So there's an article, Maria Cecilia Escobedo wrote an article this year called Love Begins at Home, Mother Teresa's Wisdom for Advent. You know, we're preparing in Advent our hearts for Christ's coming, in other words, to celebrate Christmas, but also we're also contemplating what we need to do to prepare for when he comes again. He has promised he will come again, and so we need to be prepared when he comes again. He warned us many times in Scripture that we need to be aware of the fact that he will be coming, and we don't want to be caught surprised. And so, anyway, this article says, it starts with a quote from Mother Teresa. Love begins at home, and it's not how much we do, but how much love we put in the doing. I'm going to repeat that because it's one of my favorite quotes of hers. Love begins at home, and it's not how much we do, but how much love we put in the doing. Okay, this simple yet profound statement offers a lens through which we can embrace the Advent season as Catholic Christian families by focusing on intentional, loving acts within our homes. Okay, and then she goes on to say, the heart of Advent is love in action. Advent often comes with a flurry of preparations, decorating, shopping, cooking, and attending events. These tasks, while meaningful, can overwhelm us and obscure the spiritual significance of the season. Mother Teresa reminds us that what truly matters is the love infused into every action, not the quantity of tasks accomplished. So, a lot of times people think when you're speaking or thinking about Mother Teresa, you're thinking of charitable works, you know. But she was saying, you know, you want to change the world, go home and love your family. We start with our families. Then as a family, we go out and serve the world. So it's not just charity work. Every action, every interaction with people, it's we need to have love infused into that. Well, is that easy? No, we need the grace of God for that to happen. So that's what we pray for. But we also are mindful of it and aware of our goal to be, what did she say on this previous page? Intentional acts, intentional. She says, Mother Teresa's life was a testament to finding Christ in the little things, from her care for the sick and dying to her unwavering faith in God's presence. She showed the world that holiness isn't found in grand gestures, but in simple daily acts of love. And we can all do that, folks. We can all do that. We just have to have our eyes open. Ask the Lord, open my eyes that I may see what you want me to see today. And then act on it. During Advent, families can draw closer to Christ by imitating Mother Teresa's example. Through prayer, service, and joy-filled moments, we can make our homes a reflection of Bethlehem, a place where Jesus is welcomed with open hearts. That's one of the things I thought about, you know, are we teaching our children to relish the reason for the season, which is Jesus Christ and his coming? Or are we just all caught up in the busyness and the consumer, materialistic consumerism that goes on this time of year, and ignoring the basis and the rock of Jesus Christ, who is the reason for this season? You know, there's a lot of things we can do as families to integrate Jesus into this season in a way that balances everything else out, okay? But anyway, she goes on to say, in the Nativity story, love begins in the humble home of Mary and Joseph. They welcome Jesus with tender care in a manger, showing us that holiness is often found in simplicity. Following their example, we can make our homes places of peace and love during Advent. Mother Teresa lived her life serving the poor and forgotten, but she always emphasized that love starts in the home. Advent is the perfect time to reflect on this truth. Preparing for the coming of Christ begins with loving those closest to us, our spouses, children, and extended family. And she goes on to say, when we fill our homes with acts of love, however small, we create a dwelling place for Jesus in our hearts and in the hearts of those around us. We're going to talk in a little bit about Pope Francis's latest encyclical on this human and divine heart of Jesus. And one of the things in that we looked at last week was he didn't just preach and he didn't just teach. He acted. He showed his love in action. Love must be seen, not just heard. You can say, I love you 100 times, but if you're not showing it in your actions and in your work, in your interactions and your respect for others, those words mean nothing. We must love in action. We must love in action. And then she goes on to say, Advent's a sacred season of preparation, a time when Catholic families are called to ready their hearts and homes for the coming of Christ. But amidst the busyness of shopping lists, holiday events, and to-do lists, how can we focus on what truly matters? The life and teachings of St. Mother Teresa offer a perfect guide to living Advent with love, simplicity, and service. Love, simplicity, and service. Mother Teresa often said, love begins at home. This Advent, let's take her words to heart by journeying together as families through small, meaningful acts of love, peace, and kindness. Okay? This Advent, let's remember that preparing for Christ doesn't have to be complicated. With Mother Teresa's wisdom to guide us, we can embrace the true meaning of the season, finding Christ in our homes, our neighbors, and in the little moments of love that we share. I'm telling you, if you're looking for some saint or someone to begin the new year with, someone that is familiar with today's culture and world, may I suggest that you get one book of Mother Teresa's quotes. Don't get somebody else's opinion. Get a book of Mother Teresa's quotes and start with that. And just let it speak to your heart, because it's all based on biblical teachings. But it's in a way that helps you to understand how to live it in today's world. She said, you don't have to go to Calcutta. You can find your own Calcutta in your own neighborhoods and in your own countries if you only have eyes to see. In other words, we are surrounded by people that we can serve, surrounded by people that we can love, who need an encouraging word, a friendly smile. We're surrounded by them. So you don't have to go someplace in order to find that. So let's pray, all of us, including me, for assistance and grace to love all the more during this season and in the new year, and to have patience and forgiveness and hope and all of those attributes and virtues that help us and others in this dark world. But I do want to share one more thing about Mother Teresa. And it's something that I take to heart big time. And this article by Kareth Gardner, it says, Mother Teresa's one-second remedy for finding peace during Advent and beyond. During Advent, we are reminded of the angel's message of peace on earth, goodwill towards men. The problem is, it's not always easy to find peace among the chaos of our daily lives, and even harder to feel peace towards those whom we have caused disharmony in our lives. Thankfully, we can draw on the timely advice of Mother Teresa, who reminded us that peace begins with a smile. I have a bumper sticker on my car that says peace begins with a smile, because it does. But she used to say often, peace begins with a smile. It may seem a little too good to be true, but those five words sum up exactly how we can find more peace. If you think about the times when you're out and about and feeling a little short-tempered or sad or rushed or lonely or overwhelmed, if someone flashes you a smile, you automatically feel your spirits lift. And it's true. And especially, you know, it's funny, this time of year a lot of people smile more if they're aware of their surroundings. If they're too busy to pay any attention to anything or anyone around them, that's not true. But if you're really in the moment and you're present to the people around you, if someone flashes you a smile, you automatically feel your spirits lifted, and vice versa. You might also consider the moments in your life when your kids are driving you crazy. All it takes is a goofy, sticky smile, and your heart instantly melts. Your annoyance turns to love, and you feel more at peace. So if we feel better when we receive a smile, imagine the good we could achieve if we share our smiles. If smiles lend themselves to peace, then perhaps this most simple of muscle movements could help a myriad of problems. So, my dear listeners, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I dare you to go out over this next week, even those of you who are skeptical, I dare you to try smiling at people and see what happens. You don't have to say a word. Just when you're walking by somebody, pay attention to them. Try to catch their eye. And if you do, smile at them and just keep on going. And I'm sure you can help bring a little peace and comfort to the world simply by smiling. All right? So that's all about Mother Teresa today. And so let's move on to Pope Francis's encyclical. I want to do a very slight, the first part of it, of the encyclical, talks about our need to reconnect with the Lord's heart so we can our hearts can be reawakened and warmed up towards him and towards others, because we as a nation, and not just us, but the world, I should say, and he says it in here, is has become exceedingly more and more cold-hearted. We're not warm and fuzzy enough. And he doesn't say it that way, and that sounds silly in some ways, but our hearts have gotten stiff and cold and angry and not open to the Lord or others as a society. So he's trying to tell the world, wake up, let's do this. So in this part, though, the second chapter, it's talking about Jesus and how his heart works and how we see it in the Gospels. And if we study it, then we know how he is towards us, but also how we can imitate him through the grace of God and be more like him and not so cold-hearted. And I want to give a little brief thought about last week, where it says, Jesus showed the depth of his love for us not by lengthy explanations, but by concrete actions. Okay, and by examining what he did and how he showed his love, then we can learn from it. And it goes on to talk about how he said, you know, when we are believers, we belong to him. But it's not like a slave and an owner. It's he takes care of us. He looks over us. He guards us as his own. And we're not servants. He says we are his friends, but we're also his children. Okay. And it says that in his actions, he always would seek people out. He approached them. He was always open to an encounter with people. He's open to an encounter with us. Are we open to encounters with others? We hold the secrets of life and eternity and joy and all of that in our hearts. Are we living that? Are we sharing that? Are we saying, I am your instrument, Lord? Let me take those things out into the world like he did, always searching for someone, always reaching out, always there. Okay? And so then it goes on to say, Jesus, when he would heal someone, he preferred to do it not from a distance, but in close proximity. He touched people. He stretched out his hands. He wanted to be close and in contact with people. He wasn't distant. He wanted them to know that he was one with them in so many ways. And in that closeness, he shows us the depth of his tenderness, of his true love and care for individuals. Okay? So let us take that to heart for ourselves. He wants to be close to us. He wants to touch us and to be with us. Maybe not physically touch us, but to be with us and be close to us. And then we are to be close to others and with them. So we learn from him, all right? And then we go on this week. If we find it hard to trust others because we have been hurt by lies and injuries and disappointments, the Lord whispers in our ear, take heart, son. Take heart, daughter. He encourages us to overcome our fear and to realize that with him at our side, we have nothing to lose. With him at our side, we have nothing to lose. People hurt. People are imperfect. We're not perfect. I guarantee if just like me, if I'm hurt by somebody, I know I've hurt others too. You know, we don't even know we've hurt people. And the people that have hurt us don't even know that they've hurt us if we haven't talked to them about it. And yet we can hold grudges and be upset with people who don't even know they've hurt us. Right? But Jesus isn't like that. We can always go to him. He is always faithful to us. And then it goes on to say immediately, St. Peter. To Peter in his fright, when he was sinking, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt? Nor should you, us, be afraid. Let him draw near and sit at your side. There may be many people we distrust, but not him. Do not hesitate because of your sins. Keep in mind that many sinners came and sat with him." We see it all through the Gospels. Yet Jesus was scandalized by none of them. It was the religious elite that complained and treated him as a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. When the Pharisees criticized him for his closeness to people deemed base or sinful, Jesus replied, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." He also said, I add this to the encyclical, "Those who are well need no doctor. I have come for those who are sick." Okay. That same Jesus is now waiting for you to give him the chance to bring light, there's that light word again, to your life, to raise you up and fill you with his strength. Before his death, he assured his disciples, "I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me." Jesus always finds a way to be present in your life so that you can encounter him. He comes in so many different ways today. You can find him in the Holy Scriptures of the Bible. You can find him in the sacraments of the Catholic Church, in the Holy Eucharist, in confession, in the sacrament of the sick. So many things. In a friend, a godly friend who comes to you and speaks to the truth to you, even though you may not like it, who speaks comfort to you when you're hurting, who gives you good advice on maybe a good way to handle a situation you just don't know what to do. There's so many ways he comes to us. So many ways. And Pope Francis says he always finds a way to be present in your life. Always. So that you can encounter him. Okay? So, Jesus speaks with his actions as well as with his words. That's the way we should be as his followers. We can do this. We can do this. And we can practice during Advent. Practice with your smiles and in your homes and maybe, you know, sending Christmas cards that you haven't sent in a long time or making phone calls to people you haven't talked to in a long time. There's myriads of ways. Then we have a segment called the Jesus's Gaze. You know, where he looks upon people. The gospel tells us that a rich man came up to Jesus full of idealism, yet lacking in the strength needed to change his life. Jesus then looked at him. That's what the gospel says. Jesus then looked at him. Can you imagine that moment, that encounter between his eyes and those of Jesus? If Jesus calls you and summons you for a mission, he first looks at you, plumbs the depths of your heart, and knowing everything about you, fixes his gaze upon you. As he was when he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, and as he went from there, he saw two other brothers. Okay. So when Jesus is calling us into a relationship with him, or calling us to serve him in our homes or outside our homes, or in a special way, like he called me to do this, which I wasn't expecting. But when he does, he first looks at you, plumbs the depths of your heart, and knowing everything about you, fixes his gaze upon you. So it is just like when he walked by the Sea of Galilee and he saw two brothers, and then he went on, he saw two more brothers. He saw not only them physically, but their hearts, their minds, their motivations, who they really were. Okay, many a page of the gospel illustrates how attentive Jesus was to individuals, and above all to their problems and needs. We are told that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. Whenever we feel that everyone ignores us, that no one cares what becomes of us, that we are of no importance to anyone, he remains concerned for us. He remains concerned for us. To Nathanael, standing apart and busy about his own affairs, he could say, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." If you've watched The Chosen, you see that Nathanael was really distressed, and he went out and sat under a fig tree, and he prayed to the Lord, and he was all alone. He was without a job. It was really difficult for him, but Jesus saw him there, was aware of his pain and suffering. And later, when he actually met Nathanael, he reassured him that he had seen him and he was with him. He does the same with us. Are you sitting under a tree, distraught and upset and lonely? Jesus is aware of you? Talk to him. Let him know that you need him. We all need him, no matter how strong we are. Precisely out of concern for us, Jesus knows every one of our good intentions and small acts of charity. The gospel tells us that once he saw a poor widow put in two small coins in the temple treasury and immediately brought it to the attention of his disciples. Jesus thus appreciates the good that he sees in us. When the centurion approached him with complete confidence, Jesus listened to him and was amazed. How reassuring it is to know that even if others are not aware of our good intentions or actions, Jesus sees them and regards them highly. Jesus sees them and regards them highly. We don't have to have a pat on the back from anybody else because he's there. And last but not least for tonight, in his humanity, Jesus learned this from Mary, his mother. Our Lady carefully pondered the things she had experienced, and she treasured them in her heart. And with Saint Joseph, she taught Jesus from his earliest years to be attentive in the same way. So Mother Teresa taught us about looking around. Jesus did the same thing. I have to go. I'll see you next week. And I pray that the Lord will bless you richly. And please pray for me. I'm praying for you. God bless. Bye-bye.